What I'd like to do this morning is just actually open us with a moment of prayer, and then we'll go into our liturgical call to worship from there. So would you join me and pray as we begin this gathering? Holy Spirit, it is just heavy on my heart this morning that we need you. We need you. We do so much in our daily lives to try to move our world forward, and yet the reality is, apart from the empowering of the Holy Spirit, it comes up empty. But when you come, Lord, when your Spirit is among us, as we know it is even now, for when two or three are gathered, you are here. When your Spirit comes, power flows from your people for the sake of the world. And so would you come, would you meet us in this gathering? In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's call ourselves to worship this morning. Perplexing Pentecostal God, you infuse us with your Spirit, urging us to reconcile and vision and dream. May the gift of your presence find voice in our lives, that our babbling may be transformed into discernment, and the flickering of many tongues light an unquenchable fire of compassion and justice. Join with me as we say this now. Pour out your Spirit to the ends of the earth, that your children may return home and our divisions may be healed. Amen. This morning, as we get started, Beth Nelson is going to lead us in our prayers of the people. I want to encourage you all, participate along, join in. There will be opportunities for you to pray and to lead us as we pray together. Take it away, Beth.
Let's pray together. Empowering God, you gave the church the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. Look upon us today and hear our petitions. So we lift up our prayers for your children and your creation, for the wider community around us, and those we love and call family, friends, and neighbors. And now if you'd like to, pray with all of us. Pray out loud for all of us. Prayers for the welfare of the world. Prayers for those in our community and our friends, neighbors, and family.
Lord, I pray for these demonstrations that are going on and all the tension and angst and frustration that's being voiced, and it's going in all different kinds of directions. But I pray that you'll help us as a country and as people to be able to hear the true roots of those voices and the issues that are underlying them, that we would be discerning and that we would ask hard questions to get to the heart of the matter of what really is at stake here and what can we do about it. Give us wisdom, Lord.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, we experience your fruit and your gifts when we listen. Lead us, those who are listening for your voice, into the world with love and justice, bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So we lift up the church around the world into your care and into your will, and we pray now for your people. We welcome your prayers for the church all around the world, gathering in homes and homes, Lord, all over the world. We pray for the church around the world. Would someone lead us?
Father in heaven, we lift up your church to you this morning. We know that you pray for your church without ceasing, so we join in that prayer. God, we pray for a church that is hurting around the world. God, a church that is struck by a pandemic, a church that has been persecuted, has been oppressed. And Lord, we pray for your church here in America that this morning finds itself in need of your spirit, maybe feeling that like it's never felt before. And so, Lord, we ask that your spirit would come and lead us into repentance. Lead your church into repentance. Lead your people into repentance. Lead us, Lord, to repent of generations of sin, for our participation in oppression. Father, we ask that you would stir our hearts to move us, Lord, that we may be a part of a movement, Jesus, that we may not sit this one out. Jesus, that we may be there with you. Jesus, that your church would truly be you to the world. Father, unite us. Father, cause us to be bold. Father, cause us to look like your son. God, we pray that you would drive fear out of your church. We pray that you would unite our church through your spirit. We may move powerfully into the world. So, Father, we lift up your church both here in America, and we lift up your church in the world, and we pray that you would move us towards action. We pray that you would bring about, Lord, a true change within your church, that we may be a church that can bring change throughout the world. We lift this up to you.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that gathered and directed by your Spirit, we may confess Christ as Lord and combine our diverse gifts with a singular passion to continue his mission in this world until we join your eternal praise. Amen.
Let's sing together this morning. Sing, did you feel? Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. And did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations, where young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide your heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord, and open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing and songs that bring your hope and songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice, Do you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song? And all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. Let's sing that again. Do you feel it? Do you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song? And all the streams flow as one river, wash away our brokenness. Oh, we can feel, and we can see that God is moving. A time of jubilee is coming when young and old turn to Jesus, fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord, and open up the doors and let the music play, let the streets resound with singing. I put off all my heaviness and I put on a garment of praise. And you turn my mourning into dancing. You turn my night into day again. I put off all my heaviness and I put on a garment of praise. And you turn my mourning into dancing. You turn my night into day. I put on all my heaviness and I put on garment of praise. You turn my morning into dancing. You turn my night into day. You turn my morning into dancing. You turn my night into day. I put off all my heaviness and I put on a garment of praise. You turn my morning into dancing. You turn my night into day. Now we're going to transition into a time of scripture reading, led by the Wheatons.
From Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jenny. Well, as we said at the top, today is Pentecost, which is one of the big holidays in the Christian calendar. This holiday in the Christian calendar that has not been co-opted or turned into a marketing ploy in any way. This is our day, the day the Holy Spirit comes and empowers his church to live for the sake of the world. And we have a lot to talk about today, so I may talk a little bit longer than I typically do on these digital gatherings, but it feels important today. And so if we rewind, we last week talked about when Easter happened to us, to the world, the work of resurrection coming to us, that at Easter, Jesus defeated those two great enemies of life as God intends it to be. At the cross, he vanquished the power of sin, and in his resurrection, he trampled the power of death. He defeats the power of sin and death. And when Jesus rose at Easter, he did so as the first fruits of resurrection. Where there are first fruits, there will be a full harvest. And that is the good news of Easter. Now, I want to go through a couple of scriptures with us this morning. So I'm going to try to share my screen here, and hopefully you can see this okay. Let's see, I'm going to try to, well, I can't make that look any better, but there it is. So we're in John 20, and after his resurrection, Jesus appears first to Mary in the garden. And we have this verse here that when she had said this, she turns around and sees Jesus standing there. And Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turns around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." Last week we looked at ascension, and that Jesus rises to the Father, but foretells the promise of the Holy Spirit. So he says, "Do not cling to me. I have to ascend to the Father." And then we get to Acts 1:3-5, that after his suffering, Jesus presents himself alive to his followers. And while staying with them, he orders them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In other words, he's saying, "I have to ascend, but I will not leave you orphaned." We've looked at that verse from John 14 multiple times in the last weeks, that "I will not leave you orphaned. I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you," because that's what God does. He comes to find his children. When God's people wandered the garden naked and ashamed, the Father came to them. And when God's people needed reconciliation to God and a revelation of who God was, Jesus came to them. And when God's people need the presence of Christ to empower them to resurrection life, the Spirit comes, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God is always saying, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And we get this remarkably relevant picture in John 20. 19 through 21, that is relevant for our lives today. We see that after the resurrection, the disciples are gathered on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house are locked. They are literally locked inside their homes, like many of us are today. And they're locked in there, it says, for fear of the Jews. Now, understand that this means the Jewish authorities, not Jewish people. They, in fact, themselves were Jewish, right? So there's some unfortunate anti-Semitism in the translation of what we get here in the English. But the idea here is the Jewish authorities. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. The message of Jesus on the other side of resurrection, peace be with you. And then he says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so they're locked in a house full of fear. They're not wanting to be exposed to what is happening outside. And in the next verse, which I don't have a slide for, Jesus breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus enters into homes people are shut in at, and he comes to the place of fear with a message of deep peace, and then he breathes on them. And as we in our world today are trying to avoid breathing in certain things, may it be instead that we breathe in the deep message of peace, the wind of God, the Spirit of God, the breath of God in the midst of our fear that says, peace be with you. But this peace is not just for them. Jesus then says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And notice this, that there is a transition in the life of the church right here. And it's important for us to see that when the Spirit comes, Jesus changes his instruction. His previous instruction was, stay inside until I come to you. But once you receive the Spirit, church, then a marching order is given. Go outside. I am sending you. No longer stay just inside by yourselves, but go out into the marketplace. Go out into the world. Go out into the place that needs this message of resurrection life. I'm sending you. And now watch the movement of Pentecost. So we get to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared on them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They are gathered together in one place. They're waiting for the promised presence of Christ's Spirit to fill them for a new creation work. And suddenly from heaven, there's a sound like a violent wind. This wind, which is the same word as the breath that Jesus breathed on his followers in the upper room. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same word. So just like God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam at creation, just like Jesus breathed on the disciples in John 20 in the new creation, this Spirit breath wind fills the church building where they are gathered together. The Spirit breath, which is feminine, by the way, in Greek, comes and fills the church, and they all start speaking in other tongues, the language of other cultures. And then what's fascinating in the text here is the next thing we see, they are surrounded by crowds of people. Note that there is nothing in the text that explains how they went from being inside by themselves to being outside surrounded by a crowd of people. But what we know is this, that when the Spirit comes, Those who were previously staying together by themselves suddenly find themselves sent out into the marketplace for the sake of the world. And that's the movement of Pentecost, that we would be sent out into the world. And we find ourselves in this moment where the Supreme Court heard a case this week on if churches should regather. And I wonder if this morning Pentecost is a subtle or not so subtle reminder to us as the church, which is now spirit empowered, that we are called to be sent out. Pentecost is the rebuttal to any argument that says it is essential that believers gather together in the same place. Pentecost says, no, no, no. What is essential is that the church be sent out for the sake of the world. And hear me, I don't mean that in ways that violate social distancing. I'm not suggesting we all rush into the town square. But right now, in the reality of this moment, the Spirit is sending you, the Spirit is sending me, the Spirit is sending us to a world in need. And what are we sent to do in this Pentecost? This Pentecost that falls in the midst of an unprecedented and unorthodox time. I want to suggest two things for us today. And the first is this, that the Spirit-empowered church, the church that has now received the Holy Spirit and is sent out for the sake of the world, is to be a reconciling community. Perithians, Midians, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Egyptians, Libyans, Romans, and more, they're all brought together and they are told the same message of God's great power. So one of the first fruits of the Christ Spirit-empowered church is that it brings together those who had been scattered and divided before, those who were scattered and divided geographically, politically, and culturally, and economically. All of them are brought together by the movement of the Spirit. And this morning, we in our locked houses, we're at the epicenter of this time of great divisiveness in our culture. We've got red states and blue states and mask wearers and non-mask wearers and the economically vulnerable and the socially vulnerable and the physically vulnerable. We are divided right now. And miles from where many of you are sitting, there are protests in full swing in response to the murder of George Floyd. And I'm just sitting here this morning, just grieved and confounded that it was just mere weeks ago we were talking about Ahmaud Arbery. And now we have this fresh wound on top of the deep scars of race-related violence in our country. And it's all around us, church. Go onto Twitter and search Alpharetta this morning and you will find the tearing at the seams in our community, in our backyard. And I'm hurting and confused that we have to lament and stand against such disregard for human life again. And we, the Spirit-empowered church, now as much as any time before, what we need today is a kind of Spirit outpouring that empowers us with boldness to push back on the powers of sin and death. We need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit to preach with the language of our lives and with fresh power that the cross of Christ puts an end to division. It puts an end to racism. It puts an end to violence and injustice and hatred. The cross makes a way forward for humanity where Jesus comes into our fear and breathes peace. We need the Spirit to reconcile us again. So number one, the Spirit-empowered church is a reconciling community. And number two, Christ's church is called in a time like this to speak in tongues to our city. And here's what I mean by that. I grew up in the charismatic tradition, and I love much about that tradition and honor much about that tradition. But for me, speaking in tongues had a very particular meaning, right? But in our story today, the very first time we see the church speaking in tongues, what is happening when you boil it all down is that they are sharing the good news of God in a way others could understand. That's why they're speaking in other languages. It says, in their own languages, they heard about God's deeds of power and all were amazed. So friends, we need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit that does more than like tickle our privatized greed for a richer spiritual experience and another spiritual experience. What we need is the Spirit to push us out of ourselves, beyond ourselves, to help tell God's story in a dialect that our neighbors can make sense of. Pentecost is as much a miracle of hearing as it is a miracle of speaking. Everyone heard the good news of God in their own language. And now more than ever, we need to hear one another. Because ignoring one another is a form of violence. And so often in our fallen world, the response to violence is more violence. And we know that violence does not put the story forward. That's why the cross says the pain stops here. Jesus put an end to it. But so many in deep pain all around us, they don't feel that they're being heard. And so we need a Holy Spirit miracle to help us hear the language of the person on the other side of the aisle that I don't understand, whose experiences are different than my experiences, whose culture is different than my culture. We need to hear one another. And of course, this becomes utterly practical. Yes, we need to hear one another culturally and in many ways, but we also just need to hear each other in our neighborhoods. We need to hear each other in our homes. Parents need to speak in tongues to their children. Partners need to speak in the tongue of their spouses. You understand what I'm saying? Speaking in the dialect that they can hear, that they can respond to. I'll end with this, that Pentecost is different than the other holidays in the church tradition, right? At Christmas, we're spectators. We see what God does. And at Easter, we are spectators. We see what God does. But at Pentecost, we are sent out to join the work. Pentecost gives us marching orders, and so it will and it should make us uncomfortable. And so today, while so many of us are wishing we could gather together, and that's a good desire, I see all of your faces, I want to gather with you too, but I want us to remember that most important is that we would be sent out, that the Spirit's church is open wherever ministry is happening. And may we be about that work this week for the sake of a world that needs to hear and come together in the great peace that only Jesus can offer. All right, what we're going to do now is move into a time of worship, and we're going to do this in a unique way. David and the worship team have creatively enfleshed the story of Pentecost for us this week. And what they've done is different people all join together to lift their own unique voices to share God's good news in one unified voice, right? And so we're going to play a video rather than play this live, but the point of the video is not performance art. I don't want us to spectate. I want us to participate. And so I want to encourage you. I know it's awkward. I know it's Zoom, but let your voice join with their voices. And right now, let's pray for an outpouring of the Spirit as we sing together. Join with me as we lift our voices up to the Holy Spirit.
sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood our homes and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood our homes and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
How beautiful was that? Well, we're going to take some time over the coming weeks as we celebrate Pentecost to create space to not just hear these words, but to hopefully learn to practice these words. When we gather on Sunday, that is never the main event of the Christian life. The main event of the Christian life is everything outside of this gathering. And so we practice here what we hope to live there. And so I want to practice today what it looks like to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to be empowered by the Spirit. And today, the way we're going to do that is to engage in an embodied prayer to enter the story of Christ's followers over these couple of weeks of the story that we've been exploring from resurrection to ascension to Pentecost. And what I want to invite you to do in this time is just turn your camera off if you'd like. But stay engaged. This is not the time to go do the dishes and listen in the background, but you can keep your camera on if you want, but if it will help you feel like you can get into your own space, you can turn your camera off and stay engaged. What I want to invite you to do is just open up your hands in a posture of letting go. And take a couple of deep breaths. As much as you're able in your own homes, with your families perhaps around you, descend from the mind into the heart And using the gift of your imagination, imagine yourself as one of Mary's friends in the garden. And you see the gardener, and you realize it's Jesus. And in a flash, what had gone wrong seems like it might go back to normal again. But Jesus says, this time you cannot cling to me. It's better for you if I go. I want to ask this morning what you might be clinging to that you cannot continue to hold on to. And is there some really good thing, some essential thing that you're having a hard time letting go of? In this past year, our church has experienced some significant losses. And it's right and good and healthy that we name that together. And in this past year, our world has experienced significant losses. And it is right and good and healthy that we name that together. With your hands open this morning, what do you need to grieve and release that it might rise to God in ascension? Now I'll invite you to lower your hands to your sides as a way of saying with your body that you recognize that there is an in-between time where we can't do anything to make life work. And again, using the gift of your imagination, stand alongside other Jesus followers at the ascension of Jesus and watch as your friend ascends. I want to ask you what happens in your heart as you watch your friend and master rise further away. How do you abide well the space between ascension and Pentecost? The confusing in between, the perplexing plan of God, when there's nothing you can do but wait. And finally, I'll invite you to raise your hands up into that first posture once again, imagining yourself gathered alongside the friends of Jesus just before Pentecost. And you're waiting for something to happen, but you don't even know what it is. You've been living in a new normal that you did not choose. This is right where we are today, on this very call, gathered alongside the friends of Jesus, living in a new normal we did not choose. And perhaps we wish our businesses and our homes and our schools and our church would go back to how it was before. Is there any place this morning where you're living in a new season, but still trying to do it with last season's spirit? With your hands open, I want to invite you, instead of releasing this time, to receive Pentecost. Ask for God to pour his spirit out on you afresh for the life you're living. And now, as we close, I want to invite you to turn your camera back on and turn this call to gallery mode, if you know how to do that. And notice who the Spirit draws you to, someone else on this call, and take a moment as we close to pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on them too. Spirit of God, we need you afresh. Come empower your church with the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. We're going to move now into a time of confession. And I'll invite you to join with me in the liturgy. And we're running a little behind schedule this morning, but it's okay. It's important this morning. So join with me in the confession as we say this together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Church, the Lord has already shown you mercy. The Lord has already had compassion on you. Jesus strengthens our weak knees when we still have a long way to go. So be free. We are forgiven. Laugh out loud. We are forgiven. Love God with everything. We are loved. Isaac's going to lead us this morning through the great Thanksgiving and the sacrament of desire.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Is the Father with us?
He is.
Is Christ among us?
He is.
Is the Spirit here?
He is.
This is our God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We are his people.
We are redeemed.
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Now in union, O Lord, with the faithful at every altar in your church, I present to you my soul and body with the earnest prayer that I will remain united to you. And since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I pray that you would come to me spiritually. I unite myself to you and embrace you with my soul's affection. Let nothing separate me from you, that I may live and die in your love. Amen.
So we'll sing one more song together now in this time. But before we do, let's read some scripture and spend some time just meditating on these words. John 7, 37 through 39, the rivers of living water. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Sing together. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercies. As deep cries out too deep, we sing, Abba, Father, come. Abba, Father, come. And all who were thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercies. As deep cries out too deep, we sing, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
All right. Hey, thank you, David, for that. Hey, everybody. Time for a couple quickie announcements. And first of all, I just want to welcome everybody and say how good it is to see everybody. And happy Pentecost, if that's the right salutation, but it is so wonderful to celebrate Pentecost with everybody. The only time the Nelson family diehard Tech fans are going to be okay with this many people wearing red, but it's very cool. So a couple things to talk about in community life. One is just what is the coming season going to look like? Because that is obviously something that's on our minds, as Jordan said. We all so deeply desire to see each other live and in the flesh and get back to what was. And so the obvious question that's brewing is when, how are we going to do that? And so just want to let you guys know from a perspective of parish leadership, over the next month or so, we're going to begin kind of slowly sharing what that's going to look like and how really what the next steps are in our community in the midst of COVID. You know, it's not lost on us that many, many churches are already meeting live in a person, and we bless that. We are very happy for them. And at the same time, we want to name the fact that we believe those circumstances are very unique to every church. Even every worship space is different, and we want to be sensitive to that. So I say that, but I want to be very clear that we as parish leadership deeply desire to meet live in a person, and we want to do it as soon as is prudent, and we want to do it in a way that fits who we are as the parish. So the other thing just to kind of name is, it's so interesting, especially on the day of Pentecost, is there's a story about the early church sitting indoors, then all of a sudden the Lord sweeps through with his spirit to do an unexpected thing. We feel the Lord does have a work to do in this community with respect to what meeting is going to look like. And so we are wanting to prudently and patiently listen to the Lord to see what he has to say. So just know that various church membership teams are in prayer and discernment and discussions about what that is going to look like for us to share life together in the coming season. So stay tuned for more updates on that. Lastly, with respect to care, understanding that so many of us out there are in need of the Lord's care and in need of this community's care as well. If you find yourself in need of the care of this community, we'd ask you to visit the parish/care and let us know about your needs. And then also, as we said last week, if you're someone that feels they're in a position where they would love to offer care and your heart feels ready to serve in some way, but you don't know how, please reach out to the parish/care as well and let us know that you'd love to pour into this community. That's all I got for this week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. As we prepare to go, I want to just say a quick thank you to all of those of you who make this gathering happen. Andy Culp's work and Katie Culp's work with our family ministry, those who are leading our middle school and our high school ministry, all that David and the worship team did to pull together this morning. I know a lot of work went into that. And then a thank you to our parish leadership that is helping us walk through these unprecedented times and to hopefully do that in a way that is peaceful and prudent. As we prepare to go, we're going to anchor ourselves in the cross of Christ, as we always do. I am on the road and I did not bring the cross with me. But as luck would have it, I have noticed that Patrick Nelson is holding a picture of a cross. So I need us to spotlight Patrick's video. He's working on it. The cross has disappeared at the moment we need it. Here it comes. Yeah, love that. All right, let's do this together. All our problems, we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties, we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works, We send to the cross of Christ, and all our hopes we set on the risen Christ. Thank you, Patrick. And if you'll open your hands this morning for the blessing as we go, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to invite you to stay on the call for our 3 good minutes time. Today we're going to ask and discuss around the question, what fruit of the Spirit do you need a taste of this week? We know the Spirit comes and empowers us with the fruit of the presence of Christ. And I think all of us are in need of that. And so we'll discuss that together. I want to encourage you, just stay on the call for 10 minutes. Spend some time talking with one another about that. You'll be broken into breakout rooms in about 30 seconds after we dismiss the call. Other than that, I hope you have a wonderful day. And hear this on Pentecost. May you go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a great day, everyone.